This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
All right, hour two overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Ray Ferraro will join us from the rink ahead of Leafs Blues tonight. Marcellus Wiley in about a half an hour. Monday nighter tonight, Browns at the Niners. So Baker Mayfield and the Browns back on primetime. And last night, how about Patrick Mahomes? Like, he got injured. He fought through it and he played through it. But this is 2 weeks in a row. He has not put up these spectacular, eye-popping numbers. And you'll notice the hot takes have cooled down.
Right.
Where 2 weeks ago, he was the greatest thing anyone's ever seen in the history of pro sports.
Since Troy Aikman beaked him on Twitter. That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, yeah. When someone brought up how many touchdowns he's thrown.
Right, and he said, let me know when 33% of the rings are gone his way. I thought that was actually a GOAT tweet.
Pretty clever tweet.
Yeah.
That's the Patrick Waugh. The Pat Roy.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman's got a weird look to him during the games, man. He looks, I don't know if he looks like he's had a time the night before or what his deal is. He's just got a weird look.
Well,
to
there
him.
Are some former athletes like that like to enjoy themselves and show up at games, but I mean,
well, it was in Dallas too.
Yeah.
And it was an afternoon game.
That would be his town, man.
Troy Aikman in Dallas.
I don't know if he was ever single there, but they, you know, those stories that Michael Irving and that White House they had, and like there's some legendary stories around that.
If you're a superstar, Super Bowl winning quarterback in Texas, look
over.
Out.
Dude, if you're a state championship high school quarterback, you're a legend.
That's the truth.
That is the straight truth.
That is the truth. So, yeah, I think Aikman probably...
He looked like he took
He knows what's up. And it's kind of weird because it's a national call. And I think he's pretty good. I like Aikman.
Yeah.
But you know he's rooting for Dallas.
He's leaning for, I mean, he's tied to that organization.
But he doesn't
forever.
Throw any lob balls. He doesn't just kiss their ass and say everything they do is amazing.
Pretty straight shooter.
But there were a couple times. It's more on the opposite. And maybe I'm biased. I am, because as a Packer fan. But there were a couple plays where I thought the Packers made like a they'd sack Prescott, and he'd be like, "Well, it's actually it was pretty easy play. The line open here." I'm like, "Take it easy, Aikman.
Yeah, give them some
like give him a shout out."
That's your Packer fandom, though.
Yeah, I'll
admit that. You want him to be like, "What an amazing, amazing sack! How they got through the line, something
right.
like that." But he is pretty measured.
He's like, good. I like
quite,
Aikman. I don't have a problem
sharp.
With
Aikman. Yeah.
How about Jay Gruden? You hear this story this morning? So he got fired.
Well, yes, he got dusted, but like...
Did you hear when he got called and when his meeting was?
After the game?
No. 5 a.m. this morning.
You got to do it before everybody comes in.
Yeah, but how about yesterday when they're still at the park?
Yeah.
Or 7:30 in the morning? Maybe 9 a.m. 5 a.m.? I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. to get fired.
And isn't
no
today,
way I'm
isn't
showing
today
up.
Today traditionally day off after a game on Sunday?
Yeah, it can be. Sometimes they come in, I think, and watch tape, and then they get Tuesday off.
Dude, they got to think about it. We played in Vancouver one night and lost in overtime, and the look on Paul Maurice's face, because he had been there forever, I think he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And I got a text from Donnie Edwards, the goaltending coach, at 7 in the morning saying, "We're all gone." So it's like it happens. That's when you have to do it. 5 a.m.
But why can't you do it the night before?
We were on a flight from Vancouver to Raleigh, North Carolina. What do you want to do? The pilot to bring it? Come to the front of the plane, Paul. We got a message for you from somebody.
We got a Skype message for you.
Yeah.
No, here's
5 a.m. seems
it's
a bit
It's got to go
excessive.
Up the chain. So they made the decision after the game last night, probably, but ownership's involved. It wouldn't surprise me in today's day and age, too, like HR must have to be involved to figure out
the
contract.
Yeah, you could be right.
Like there's probably several layers. It's not like in Russia where coaches get fired after the second period in a hockey game.
Jay Gruden, though, he was on the Gary Thorne meter.
Yeah.
Did you hear his quote after the game? Do we have that quote? This was what Jay Gruden had to say. They're 0-5. They got smoked by New England yesterday. And he was asked about his job security.
Yeah.
And here's what he said.
Nobody's told me anything. And I don't have a concern. I'll just wait and see McKee works on Monday. Keep working. Go attack the Miami Dolphins and plan on getting our first win next week.
No key.
Yeah, that's your pass card is being handed in at 5 a.m. in the morning. That's not going to work for you.
Took his stapler away and everything.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Would you accept the 5 a.m. invitation to be fired?
Well, what's my choice?
There isn't one.
Just say, send me an email.
Oh, I don't know. Tell me right after the game. They didn't decide that overnight. Right? Like, don't you think he knows as he's answering that question? I've already turned my card in. Like, it's over. Wouldn't you already know?
Yeah,
he knew. As soon as you see the number come up, you're like, see you later, I'm out.
Yeah. Okay, I got traded one time, and the phone came up. It was right after practice, and it was in Hartford, and it was the office number. I just got home after practice. I'm like, I got a pretty good idea what this is going to be about. Like, they're not asking what you're eating for lunch. Right? Like, I just left the rink. And so, yeah, that's a tough wake-up call right there, right?
Well, he wants out. You could tell by his attitude. Like, Gruden, he was pulling a Costanza here.
Yeah, Costanza, exactly.
Yeah, he was happy to hand in the pass card. But it's like just one more final dig. Like, you've been awful for us. We have to pay you the rest of your contract, and we're not happy about it, so... Yeah. Now, NFL coaches are notorious for showing up at 4 a.m. anyway. He could have been an hour and a half into his day, you know.
Right. Well, one thing we should not forget with Washington is ever since Daniel Schneider's taken them over,
disaster.
They've been a mess. They've been awful. And there was so much, he's got lots of money and he's going to spend it. Well, he spends, but he never seems to spend it on the right people, or he doesn't seem to know what the heck is going on. Washington's been brutal forever.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
And you can tie it as a lot of things. It starts top down, right? He's been the owner for a long, long time now, and they've got very little to show for it, and there's all kinds of things that you can tie to whether the right people are in place from the top down, and they don't have it there. They've never had it.
Leafs Blues tonight, and you can watch it on TSN 4, hear it right here on TSN 1050. All eyes on Kasperi Kapanen. Have you ever seen anyone do what he did on Saturday night?
No, I mean, that's a brain lock of you know, a gold medal brain lock right there. Like, I don't even know what he could have been thinking, right? It's like, why would you do that? Like, you just wouldn't, except he did. And whether he knew the rule that it was a penalty shot or not, you would know it's a penalty at the very least. I don't know. I can't even come up with a defense for it. But that's one moment. What's more concerning, if I'm looking at Kapanen, is that he's not played very well. He doesn't, despite what he said, he sure doesn't look very comfortable playing left wing. Like, that doesn't seem to be going so well for him. And it's funny, like, you know, people have been, you know, not in love with Zach Hyman's game for a long time. It seems like he plays too high in the lineup. He plays with too good of players. And now that he's gone, they kind of miss that. And I think Tavares and Marner miss it. He doesn't need the puck a lot to be a really effective player. And Kapanen's game is speed and with the puck and down the wing and shoot it, and now he's on the other side, and it doesn't seem to work.
That's what we were talking about, and Brian brought it up in the 4 o'clock hour. Now, you know, Kapanen is on his left side. He hasn't played great, admittedly, and we've all seen it, but, you know, where are you at with Tavares and Marner's game 5-on-5? Because there has been some points involved, but, you know, that line just hasn't really lit the world on fire.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look right, and if you look at it this way, like a good line 5-on-5, everybody's got a piece of the puzzle and they all kind of, you know, they work on their, you know, in their own little space, but it works well together. And if you've got one guy that's really struggling, then it doesn't matter what the other two guys are doing. Like, you're shorthanded. And that's where, you know, I wonder how long they can or will go with Kapanen here in this spot, or will they move Trevor Moore there and, you know, move Kapanen back to right wing, and, you know, and and play him on that third line, which is probably where he's going to end up anyway. It's a possibility, but they don't, like Tavares and Marner, haven't had that extended stuff in the zone yet that really, I think, was kind of like a hallmark of their years last year.
Yeah, I agree. I said that in the previous hour. I mean, we spent all summer talking about money and contracts, and here we are, 100% of the focus is on the $3 million guy. Meanwhile, the two $11 million guys, I don't think have played that well, 5-on-5. Three games, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
Well, okay, but, so just think of it this way. If Hyman's a ditch digger, you can't build a house until you dig the ditch. And, like, they can't get the puck back enough. They don't retrieve it enough. They don't keep it enough. And they miss the blue-collar part of that game. And it's not to say that Kapanen isn't, doesn't work hard.
No.
It's just he's a different player. His game is off the rush with speed and a shot. And Hyman's, going in there and kicking all the tables over and scrapping around or fighting around for scraps. And then he gets the puck back and... Then he gets to the front of the net and he stands there and takes a beating. And that's not what Kapanen does.
That surprises me, Ray, because I thought that Kapanen would have been better at doing the Hyman stuff than Hyman was. With the speed, he's a big, strong kid. I mean, he's not like he's small out there. He's not that tall. But I just thought he would get in there and beat defensemen to pucks and shovel up behind the net to Tavares, and that would be the start of their cycle game. But it just hasn't materialized like that. And as we said, it's three games. He's got a chance to get it going here.
Yeah, of course he does. And, just think when we started a year, you don't have any points and only a couple of shots. Pretty soon you start saying to yourself, man, I got to get it going. I got to get it going. And
feels like 20 games, doesn't it?
Oh, my God, it's brutal early.
Awful.
Because in the middle of the year, it's just three games. Now it's like, man, I would look at the stat sheet now and I'd go, I got less points than Freddie. Like, that would bug me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm behind the goat. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to score. And I think, you get those game notes and you look at yourself down at the bottom and you're like, look at me. Like, it's hard. It's hard to get your mind in the right place. Maybe his game isn't as much blue collar as we think. But the one thing that with all the salaries that were handed out and all that, Johnsson hasn't played very well either, I don't think. But him and Kapanen they're not luxuries anymore. Like they were, they were 20-goal luxuries last year. And now they're 20-goal necessities to this lineup.
Right, they're getting paid. And paid with the expectation you'll bring something.
I love how the goat is the barometer.
Yeah.
He played, like, man. He's a staple on that fourth line.
I still think he's going to get 10 goals this year. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I just feel like this is a guy who's going to get to the front of the net and get a few and banging away. But he's the barometer. If you're below him, it's not good.
The Mendoza line, the goat line.
Exactly. Yeah, sir. Now, Noodles, were you with us with the Islanders yet when Mick Mikkota scored a hat trick in Washington?
Yes.
So he scored three goals, and Mick said he's going to, I'm just going by a little bad to the bone, some guys playing out here on the street. So Mick says he scores three goals in Washington, like the third game of the year. And he says, I'm going to get 10 this year. And then he got his fourth one in March. And we're like, man, you're going to have to get hot now, man.
No kidding. I'm going to get 10. He's already got three banked.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. Rasmus Sandin not playing a lot. Where do you see this going?
Well, no issue until Travis Dermott gets back. But when Dermott gets back, if Sandin's now, because then you're dropping to the number six spot, right? Because your number five guys are all kind of locked and loaded in front of you. And if you drop to number six and you're playing 9 and 10 minutes a night, is that really the place you want a young kid playing? And for me, the answer is no. I would want him playing 20 minutes with the Marlies and by the end of the year have a more seasoned player. But till Dermott's coming back, I mean, they're not going to all of a sudden go with Marinson and Hall on that third pair.
No. No, he's going to play. No. But, yeah, I think if that's the expectation when Dermott comes back, you send him down. Like you can find 10 minutes from somebody else, and his development is too important.
Right.
They're turning over like 80% of the defense corps next year. He better be ready to play next year.
But that's the key, Brian. Like, That's why we needed to take a collective breath on Sandin. Like, you know, I still think he can play. I still think he's going to be a really good player. It's just, you see how the league sorts things out in that first 10 games. It was Rosen a couple years back who had the real nice start in the first 9 or 10 games. I still think Sandin will be fine. It's just sometimes the pace and the matchups and that, it may not fit a young player. This guy's only 19. You can't forget.
Like, yeah, he's really young.
He's really
like,
raw.
It's not like Mikheyev, who's 24 or
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. So, you know, you've got the luxury to be patient with him.
Noodles, you mentioned one thing there, and you know, I think we probably all look at things way bigger, but about a matchup. And pretty soon when you're in a game, you know, the coaches are going, well, I don't want those guys out against that line and that line. And,
right.
Well, really not so much against that line. And pretty soon you got a 9 to 10 minute night.
Well,
and it happens in a hurry.
Well, take a look at the fourth line for the St. Louis Blues tonight. Like, that's, you may think, okay, you know, put them out against the fourth line. That fourth line was really good in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Like, Alex Steen is on the fourth line.
That's Sundquist.
And they're big.
Yeah. And they're like, big and they're mean.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Barbashev had had 30 hits or 40 hits in the playoffs last year. Like, he's a physical kid. Sundquist is a good player. And then, of course, Steen is, his age and role has changed, but man, he's a good player. That'll be a challenge for those guys for sure.
Right.
How do you feel about Crosby getting into a fight over the weekend?
Well, I think it's always kind of funny when it's over and you're like, okay, he's not hurt, and that's a good thing. But I would assume there's a whole bunch of people holding their breath while he's dropping the gloves there, right? Like, what if by accident you throw a punch and hit somebody's helmet?
Yeah.
You know, like that, and you break your finger. I mean, look at the news they got today. Man, the whole thing is devastating in Pittsburgh. Could you imagine if you would have got hurt in a fight? You'd be like, just don't do that anymore, would you?
Well, Taylor Hall got hurt, I think it was his second or third year in a fight, by rolling his ankle because he got twisted.
I know you don't want them doing it,
no,
but
I
think you got to do it once in a while,
like,
to say screw
I don't
you.
Mind it. We talked about it, Ray, was it last week, about Matthews just separating himself a little bit to buy a little bit of a space,
yeah,
like to be a little bit physical. You don't want to see it, but
you can't take that out of
him. You can't take it out of these guys. Like, Sid is a battler.
No, but I like, you know, he went over to kind of, I don't know, avenge is the right word, but Gensel got hit.
Yeah.
And so he went over, you know, to kind of like, hey, don't do that again. And I'm like, damn, they got to have somebody else on the roster that can do that.
Right.
It shouldn't be him.
Well, I mean, that's a conversation here in Toronto. Again, it's three games, but we knew this before we even came into the season. Like, Weber crushed Tavares on Saturday night. Marner got hit, kind of an ugly hit. And Nick Shore, I think it was Petrie that hit him, and Shore just kind of pushed him and said, see you later. And if Nick Shore isn't going to be like, I'm dropping the gloves with you to send a message, nobody is going to do it on that team. It just won't happen.
When you look at these two lineups, right, the Stanley Cup champions and then the Leafs, you put them side by side, and you go, like, if this game gets into the mud, the Leafs are in trouble. Because the other team is just bigger and stronger and tougher, and that's the way it is. But the Leafs have built this team. We can talk about it till we're blue in the face. But the Leafs have built this team a certain way, and it seems pretty clear that they're putting their chips in the middle of the table with this type of lineup. They think this lineup doesn't need that extra oomph that you're talking about.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Leafs Blues tonight on TSN 4 and right here on TSN Radio. We'll catch you on the call tonight.
We're going to talk to you. Oh, have you redone the list yet?
Well, we haven't brought that up yet, actually.
Oh, Ray, you're right at the top. You're probably top five. I've got to redo it. You answer the phone. You're not great, but you answer the phone.
Okay, like, I just thought the fact that I wasn't even on the list. Hey, yeah. You weren't either, but, you know.
No, I was on there, which I was surprised by because I flush his call a lot.
What are you talking about? We talk a lot, you idiot.
Yeah, I know, but you call excessively, and there are times where I'm like, I can't answer that call. If I'm high on the list, people are flush. Have you, like, blocked out? They have your number blocked.
Well, good luck trying to get a hold of Tessa, but she will not answer her phone.
Well, yeah, I guess, but... What provoked you to do that? You posted a list.
Because he called me the other night, and I was at the Oiler game,
And you answered your phone.
I answered. I was like, hey,
he always answers. He always answers. The guy's at an Oiler game. He answers. He's in the crowd. He's like, hey, what's going on?
If I'm at a Leaf game, I'll flush and text. I'll text you, say, what's up?
Oh, I was. I saw
that's ignorant, comment. Though. There's other people in the crowd. They don't want to hear you on the phone.
You think in the middle of a game I was the one making noise, not the jackass behind me yelling and swearing at the ref?
Yeah, but that he's engaged in the game. He's not talking to this guy in Toronto. You're in Edmonton.
Well, I didn't put him on speaker.
I think the ultimate worst is the quizmaster. He will never answer his phone, ever.
Yeah, but when he needs you,
boy.
What a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's a call, it's a text, and it's an email within 7 seconds.
Yeah, and then
like,
four more calls.
He'll call the trifecta. He'll call us while we're on air.
Yeah, and he knows it, too.
And
he knows, like, care.
We're on air. And I will, like, flush his call and then text him going, on air, on overdrive, and I'll get the email back.
I think there's a part of him who expects us to answer it on the air. Like, that's his move.
That is aggressive. The call, text, and email.
Yeah.
Right rapid away. Bang, fire. Bang, bang. There's no way to, you can't avoid it.
Yeah. And a follow-up text. Did you get my email?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Please respond.
It's that's Saturday it morning. Leave me alone. Anyway. All right, buddy. Enjoy
we'll
tonight.
Talk to you. See you, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Yeah, so that was what, last night you posted your rankings of people that are employed at TSN that answer their phone when
Grappler
you call.
Yeah, Grappler is going to be added to it, too. And Mulls, he always answers. I've never called Al's brother. I might need to sniff around that to see what that's all about, calling Al's brother out of the blue.
I saw Steph made the list.
Yeah, Steph answers the phone.
But what I didn't understand, Tessa was ninth, but Natasha was tenth.
She doesn't answer the phone either. Refuses.
Hmm.
But what are you calling them for? That's the thing.
No, just to like general stuff, like, hey, if it's about a function or whatever.
Was Kara Waglin on there?
No.
Well, Kara answers the phone quite a bit, doesn't she?
Or she'll call you back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there are a lot of people offended that they didn't make the list.
Might have to revamp the list.
Oh,
I know I'm the number
one.
I answer my phone all the time.
You answer
but I'm a
phone.
Caller. I'm not really, like, if I talk to you guys by phone a lot.
I answer 80% of the time. If I can't answer, it's because I can't answer.
You're with the kids.
Exactly.
But you
Pierre
always
LeBron
call back.
Is actually good, too. He answers his phone or he'll call you
but
back.
But that's what he does for a living. Pierre LeBron is on the phone. Bob McKenzie, Darren Dragon, those guys live on the phone.
Well, Bobby goes into summer mode, and he'll flush with the
best.
He'll
flush, but he's good. Like, if he misses your call, he'll text and be like, what's up?
Jim Taddy just tried to call me. What a loser. What's he calling me for?
He's probably watching right now. He's trying to get in on the bit.
He wants to.
Should have answered.
I remember one time I called Bobby in the summer, and he goes, look, I'm kind of off the grid now for a couple months, just to let you know. I was like, okay.
Basically, don't bother
me
anymore.
That's a polite, like, don't
It was like, don't do that again. Do not do that again.
I think it's a significant infraction, you answering the phone at a game. During the play? That is ignorant.
I think it was a TV timeout. So I was sitting there.
I don't know.
I've told you this before. I'm not an Oiler fan. I went home to visit my mom. I got free tickets from somebody there who coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my buddy, I'm like, let's go catch the game.
Yeah, that's fine. But you're in the fans' world, you got to start acting like a fan.
I was in the friends and family section.
You wouldn't answer your phone at a movie.
Well, sometimes.
You've answered your phone in the movie.
I'm the only guy at a movie at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If I'm the only guy in the theater, I will answer.
Oh, yeah.
I guess
only guy in the theater, you can do anything.
I guess so.
Feet but, up,
no,
socks
but
off.
But I'm always respectful at a movie.
The old
always.
Del Griffith.
What I do is I turn my my brightness right down if I have to be on the phone.
Got to do that.
I always sit off to the side because I don't want somebody behind me looking at my phone brightness.
Right.
So I'll go off to the side, and if I text or if I have to return an email.
Yeah, I'll do
but
that too.
I feel like you have to have proper etiquette. Believe me, in that section the other day with the grit grinders, and I was sitting with some family and stuff of the players, I believe I was one of the most polite people.
They weren't paying attention to that?
Oh, no,
they didn't care?
No, nobody. The guy yelling behind me, the profanity, upsetness of at the ref.
Actually, it's funny you mention that because I was up in the greens and there were two guys giving it the, well, why don't we take it outside routine?
Really? They're going to fight?
No, but both of them knew neither of them were leaving. It was like the end of the first period. They had all paid like $300 for the pair. They're not leaving. The one guy, I think they were both with their girlfriends. So they were both putting forth the I'm a tough guy.
One guy was a Montreal guy, one guy.
No, it was one guy was leaning up against the rail, and it was conflicting with the guy's view behind him. So he said, "Hey, buddy, can you lean back? We can't see." And then the guy didn't really respond, so he said it again. Then the leaner gave it the old, "Yeah, I heard it the first time."
Oh, really? Hero move?
Hero move. And then this guy's like, "Well, we can take it outside and figure it out."
Canadian just kicks in.
That's what it is. It's the heroin beer.
Oh, yeah.
Just drinking boxing gloves.
But both of them, everyone looked around like, "You're not leaving the rink. You can't get back in. Not going outside to fight over a guy leaning over a railing."
Were you watching with a smile on your
face? Yes, I was like, "This is hysterical."
I love, like, I don't know why. For some reason, I don't mind just being a spectator.
Oh, it's people watching to the extreme.
Nobody tries to break up anything. They just hold their phones and videotape.
Well, I knew these guys weren't going to start fighting. Like, they weren't doing anything.
You were videotaping them.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't going to do that.
I think it would.
It's all good.
I don't mind a little dust up there, here and there.
Yeah, the old let's take it outside threat.
You want
the
go
emptiest
outside?
Threat of all time. You want to take this outside? Yeah. Like, both of them are yelling, "Yeah, let's take it outside." All right, you take it outside.
You should have said, "Then go, let's go."
Yeah, I should have been like, "All right, let's see it.
Take it outside.
Get the hell out of here. You're bothering people."
They would have turned on you.
Then it would have been my problem. Exactly.
Did you see the video in the summer? The guy that was at the sandwich shop, and I don't know where he was, but he was like, he wasn't a very tall guy. But
oh, Bagel Boss.
Yes.
Yeah, the bagel guy.
Yeah, he lost his mind.
He is in the news because he was supposed to have a celebrity fight with Dustin
bailed.
Diamond, Screech.
Yeah, yeah.
And he bailed on it. And now Screech is like suing him.
Yeah.
And all the promoters are suing him because he was on like the Stern show and he was doing the rounds.
Being a hero.
Being a total hero. Because someone grabbed him and almost beat the hell out of him at that Bagel Boss.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A guy that was 6'3" jumped on top of him and started filling him in.
Yeah. Well, because he was being a moron.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was an idiot.
Yeah.
All right, Marcellus Wiley, how good are the New England Patriots? Like, how good are they truly? Because their schedule has been pretty soft.
Yeah.
But their defensive numbers have been off the charts. Who does he like tonight, Browns or Niners at home?
And I'll ask him, so there's no favoritism, and you know there's no slant to it either way.
Okay, we'll get to Marcellus Wiley next. All right, Marcellus Wiley will join us here in just a moment. Chris Mannix from SI on this really wild story in the NBA. Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets, sent a tweet out in support of Hong Kong, and the Chinese not happy with that, and now the Rockets owner is basically separating himself from Morey, and the NBA sending out multiple press releases, one in English and one in, I guess, Mandarin and Cantonese, and a crazy story.
It is crazy that a tweet can cause that. That's the world we live in now.
Well, but that's the bottom line, man. The Chinese government, they make sure if you're doing business with them,
I was just going to say,
you don't mess around.
And there's the NBA wants cash.
LeBron is there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this. LeBron has been very outspoken in the past, but I don't think he's under any obligation to say anything about this situation.
No.
He's not from Hong Kong. He's not from China.
He did not send the tweet.
He didn't send the tweet. Exactly. Yeah. Just because he is who he is and he's been outspoken in the past, I don't think he's got to give an opinion on everything, and especially when he probably doesn't really know what's actually going on and the details and the history.
Yeah.
Here's Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer from FS1. I'm sure you guys talked about that on your show this afternoon. Do you feel like LeBron has to speak on this Morey tweet?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. There's no obligation there from LeBron and his camp. You know, you don't want to set up a situation where there are conflicting interests. We know the economic growth and the global expansion of the game certainly will benefit from its relationship with China. And Daryl Morey is just one person, not the full representative of the NBA experience or the NBA beliefs. So the last thing you want to do is bring more attention to this. And sometimes the apology actually creates the firestorm, per se. So I think this is one you just let the top-ranked officials from the NBA handle, and LeBron, stay clear of it, brother.
Marcellus, tonight, Browns, Niners. One of us on this panel may or may not be looking for some inside information. What are your thoughts going into this tilt? Because there's a guy struggling, losing money on this panel, and he needs to get it back tonight.
Wow, such a
no pressure, though.
Man, Yeah, so much for just watching sports for the joy of it, huh? There's some incentive here. I'm just glad that this game is happening now. You imagine hearing this game last year and saying Browns 49ers. I mean, that is a toilet bowl to see. But things have changed around so drastically. This is 49ers who seem to be flying under the radar despite them having a great start to their season, in part because of the roller coaster of Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's certainly looked better of late. I think that the 49ers handle business. Their offense, in terms of moving the chains, is a special offense. I think they've had 2-3 and outs this entire year, which is amazing. You talk about consistency. The Cleveland Browns, look, they respond well to adversity. They respond well to their chatter that they create themselves. But I think that they're going to be a little overmatched in this lineup. Odell Beckham still doesn't have great chemistry with Baker Mayfield in this offense. We haven't seen that consistently. So I just think that the 49ers, a little more balanced attack, I think that they prevail. Let's say 31-27.
Ooh, that's a cover for the Browns.
Wow.
Thank you, Marcellus. That's all I needed to hear was that last comment. So let's get into some other stuff that actually matters based on what took place yesterday in the NFL. Jay Gruden fired in Washington. We were debating whether or not the 5 a.m. summons was necessary. Is that just standard practice in the NFL or what?
What is that? The 5 a.m.? What was that summons? I'm not familiar with
Well,
it.
Gruden got fired at 5 a.m. this morning, apparently.
Oh.
Like, is that just natural business in the NFL? They can't do it at, like, 9 a.m. or the night before?
Oh, man. Who knows what the hell they're up to? How about this one? Not only was it 5 a.m., for that knowledge, but they wait till after they lose to the Patriots. Duh. And then they say, you know what? Enough's enough. So that's kind of interesting as well. But we know the writing's been on the wall. And this organization, despite its ownership issues in terms of people not thinking that Daniel Snyder is the right person or certainly has the right football acumen to be the owner of this team, if they fix the quarterback position, I think they fix a lot of their issues. Got to go back to when RG3 basically died on the football field in the playoff game. They were a 10-win team that year. Alex Smith had them at 6-3 before he got injured and probably has ended his career as well. We even saw a spurt in there with Kirk Cousins, and they went 9-7, win the division. It's a weird thing. You don't fix the quarterback position, you don't have a chance. And I think because of injury or just not stability at that position, that's going to be the undermining reason this team and this organization doesn't have consistent success. But Gruden, I mean, the writing's on the wall. People were saying that they didn't know if his effort was at 100%. People didn't think that he was the right man for the job, despite being there with a Sean McVay and having some success then. We saw this one coming. We just didn't know exactly when, but obviously it landed, and it landed early this morning, 5 a.m.
With Marcellus Wiley, you mentioned the Patriots, and they're at 5-0, but not surprising when you consider who they played. They played Pittsburgh, Miami, the Jets, the Bills, and Washington, and they're at home against the Giants next week, and then at the Jets after that. So 7-0 is pretty much a lock at this point. Yet their defense, you look up their stats, NFL Research tweeted this out a little bit earlier. The 85 Bears allowed 12.4 points per game. The 2000 Ravens allowed 10.3 points per game. The 2019 Pats, through five games, are allowing 6.8 points per game. So how good is this team, considering the competition they've been playing?
Man, the schedule makers must have forgot they won the Super Bowl. They don't need any extra help.
No kidding.
What the hell is this? Yeah, the schedule is insane. Oh, it's collegiate. But that said, you know, the NFL has always been the experience where you had to pad your stats against lesser competition, and then you had to rise to the occasion against different competition. I'm not going to be the person that says that the Patriots can't rise to stiffer competition, but certainly they're separating themselves from the pack in terms of beating up other teams. I just see an attack that has an efficient, good Tom Brady. They need to pick up their running game, and the defense is playing tremendous. And every year they have a different makeup. It's they're the most pliable team, an organization that you've ever seen in terms of they take what you give them and then they master that and expose your weaknesses. So what they're doing this year compared to last year they had their defensive struggles early. Last year, Tom Brady started off well and then faded actually in the playoffs. If you look at him in the three rounds of the playoffs, he got worse every single round of the playoffs. Only threw two touchdowns and three interceptions. So they're just the masters of letting their boat float and then selling when it matters most. And I think they're going to do that again this year. It doesn't matter how it looks when it comes to the Patriots and that machine that they put out and produce every year. So I think when we see tougher competition, you're going to see a better Patriots unit as a whole.
Well, I would say that the opposite applied with Dallas, who opened with the Giants, the Redskins, and Miami through 3 weeks. And in the past 2 weeks, they lost at New Orleans and lost at home badly against Green Bay. How much concern should there be down in Dallas right now?
Not that much. You got to think they're in a new offense, kind of more. They started off fast, as you said, the first three games, kind of caught up with them the last two games in terms of getting on track early. So the film cycle is out. Other teams are scouting. Now they see what the offense looks like. The headlines are scary, but the reality is they need to get Ezekiel Elliott going. The last two games, he's had fewer than 100 yards combined. Two games, Ezekiel, not even topping 100 yards if you add them up. So that's really undermining their balancing act, and that's hurting Dak Prescott and putting a little too much pressure on him. Despite him playing well this year and having a 106 quarterback rating, he still needs his balancing act. He still needs to be a part of a dynamic duo. So this is the peanut butter and jelly sandwich without one ingredient. A peanut butter sandwich is not as good. A jelly sandwich is not as good. You need PB&J. So I think right now they need to return back to leading this offense off with a rushing balanced attack and then let Dak go out there and play well like he has this year.
Ugly scene in Pittsburgh where Mason Rudolph, he was scrambling and Earl Thomas just closed on him and laid him out. I mean, it was a helmet to helmet. He got flagged. Rudolph was out before he even hit the ground. As a defensive player yourself, you know, how do you look at a play like that?
Yeah, it's a tough one, man, because I didn't see the malintent. I saw the result. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in, let's freeze frame it right when it occurs, the actual hit, and separate that from the result. The results are scary. The results make you think of your own mortality and the fact that it's difficult to play the game of football when you have to build in such violence that can occur on every play. But I didn't think that that was the most egregious hit in terms of intent. So you got to play ball. As they used to say in practice, when we used to see catastrophic injuries occur, move it up 10 yards. That's what coach would say. You sit there, look at your teammate, pray for him, wish him well, tell him he's going to be okay, and move it up 10 yards, man. That's just one of those things. Unfortunately, Mason Rudolph will be fine. And the collective NFL just has to move it up 10 yards.
Great stuff, Marcellus. We'll do it again next Monday.
Yes, sir. Keep it going, guys. Win your money, hopefully.
Oh, I'm on it tonight. Don't worry about that. It's Marcellus Wiley. I love that. Niners, but close.
Team that we never talk about because they're not polarizing at all that really sucked this year are the Falcons.
Oh, they are brutal.
Oh, my God.
They are brutal.
Texas put up 53 on them. Yep. They're awful.
Five touchdowns, Deshaun Watson threw.
Firings or something. Are they just going to ride that?
You would think. I don't know.
They're just old, man. All of a sudden, you wait. Julio Jones done nothing.
Is that Gary Thorne? Don't you think the...
Well, I'm telling you, we got to fire up the Gary Thorne meter. You know.
No, I've had enough.
Let's do it this week, then.
They're 1-4. Their season's done.
Thursday, we'll fire it up.
Yeah.
All right, later in the week.
Because now we're at week five.
Week five
will be done tonight, right?
Yep. And we're through a full week of the NHL by Thursday.
By Thursday. So you'll have at least three or four games for each team in the NHL underneath your belt.
Yeah.
So
and it could be anybody. Maybe
Gary
a
Thorne.
Caddy.
Oh,
it could caddy be whose player can't make a cut.
Yeah.
No, I've had enough.
Just had enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll be into the championship series in baseball as well. Some guy just a disaster on
yeah,
the mound.
Exactly.
Gary Thorne.
No, I've had enough.
Sounds like Granky was Gary Thorning it this afternoon. But
not so good.
No, not so good. Chris Mannix from SI on the Kyle Lowry contract, what to expect out of Pascal Siakam, and the controversy the NBA is dealing right now in terms of what Daryl Morey had to tweet about the Hong Kong Chinese relations and where the NBA comes into play and all that, because it's costing them potentially hundreds
That's
of millions of dollars.
Cash.
The NBA is all about free speech and being progressive until you start losing the money.
Exactly.
All of a sudden,
that immediately
changed on a dime.
Like, hold on a second here, and people started separating themselves
He didn't just backpedal. He turned around and started sprinting.
Right.
Like Morey tweeted, actually, on second thought, I've been informed on this. I just want to. It sounds like someone went to him and said, "You might be fired. We'll get back to you."
That's why it's dangerous to put your. Why would he even do that? That's the thing.
Well, I mean.
It's a
serious story around the world. All eyes of the world are on Hong Kong.
We'll get into it, honestly, but it's...
I know.
It's so polarizing, some topics, that why even put your opinion out there?
Especially with that team, where Houston and Yao Ming, they are so popular in China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll touch on that in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs-Bruins Saturday night. That is a big game. October 19th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue. This player was on the roster of two Canadian NHL teams over the course of his career. Two Canadian teams.
Darcy Tucker.
That's pretty thin.
Hmm?
No, I mean, like...
There's been a lot of guys who have played for...
There's plenty of guys. It could be Steve Staios.
Jamie McCowan.
It's got to be a former Leaf. What are you talking
Staios?
Oh, yeah. I thought Staios was here.
No, he worked here.
He worked here. That's right. Sorry.
Staios didn't play here.
No. Jamie McCowan, Calgary and Toronto.
I don't think he played for a third Canadian team. Could be someone in that Gilmore deal. Wasn't Doug. I mean... My buddy played for multiple Canadian teams.
Gary Lehman?
Don't call him your buddy.
It is your buddy.
I didn't call him my buddy. He called me his buddy.
He's only nice to you because we're friends.
He was very nice. It was a very nice stop and chat. Good to see Doug. It's great to be down there on Saturday night. Bit of a disappointing ending, but from an entertainment perspective, it was an unbelievable third period in overtime. You're probably not going to get much better than that at any point this year.
But that's why it should be. That's why it should be extended.
Yes, the overtime, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But CBA, players, owners.
I know.
Like fans and media would love it. They'd say, go and tell your score. It'd be spectacular. 15-minute three-on-three. Like they, you can argue the NHL, like every league, they've made a lot of mistakes. Implementing three-on-three was not one of them.
No.
It is spectacular. Spectacular theater.
I agree.
Like, I'd be fine with it in the playoffs. I know it's never going to happen. Can you imagine 3-on-3 in the playoffs?
I wouldn't have a problem with that either.
How crazy. Now, there, you play until someone scores.
But it would be over quick.
Good.
So be it.
Do you know how many people in our industry want that?
Yeah, from a selfish perspective.
That is true.
All right, final hour up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.